Hurricane Hotline on the home of the U, AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2, WQAM. Driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com. Now, here's Don Billy Jr. and the voice of the Hurricanes, Joe Zagacki.
It'll be the Hurricanes and Virginia Tech this weekend. The Mark Richt Show brought to you by Williamson Automotive. Joe Zagacki and Don Bailey Jr. and University of Miami head coach Mark Richt. The Canes coming off a game at Georgia Tech. Another tough night in Atlanta, coach. A lot of different things to talk about. There were some highs, then there were some lows.
Yeah, first of all, that was the first time that I've been in that stadium and come out of there with a loss. It's, you know, at the end of the game, you get your press conference set up, you know, and there's a certain spot that, you know, you're going to, you know, the media is going to come in and talk with you and all that kind of thing. And every time I've walked out of that locker room to that little spot in the weight room they have there, it's always been after a victory. So that was a tough one, you know, for me personally. But, you know, there was, there's, when you lose, people tend to focus on the bad things that happened, and there were certainly bad things that happened. The turnovers certainly probably got us more than anything. We know when you play a team like Georgia Tech, you got to maximize every possession you get, and if you fumble, you lose the possession. So, you know, that, you know, the, you know, well, let's just talk about the game a little bit. You know, we start the game out, we choose to take the ball first if we win the toss, which we did. Normally we defer to second half because we want to try to get some points on the board and put them behind to start the game if possible. And, you know, we come out of there and first play of the game, Kosi drops back and hits Jeff Thomas wide open for a beautiful, you know, 27-yard game, whatever it was. You know, protection was perfect. Everybody did exactly what they were supposed to do, how they were supposed to do it. And that drive continued down the field. Again, Nikosi throwing the ball extremely well. Had a good third down conversion. Had another throw to Cager on the right side. You know, just methodically moved the ball down the field. In the red zone, as we watched the tape, they must have run, if there were 16 red zone clips we studied for that particular game, there was maybe 12 different coverages. You know, it was just like try to get a beat on those guys was not that easy. So we felt like the best thing to do was going to be to run the ball down in the red zone and you know, kind of stick with it, which we did and knocked it in. We actually were, you know, we were 2 for 2 in the red zone, 2 touchdowns, you know, didn't no field goals, which is important in a game like that. You know, so the first drive went great and chewed up 5-6 minutes, exactly what you wanted. Now they, you know, they come back down the field and chew up about another 5 or 6 minutes and get a touchdown on the board. So okay, it's tied up. Let's go back to work. Kick off to us. We get a really good return, you know, out to the 30, 35, whatever it was. But in the end, we get another fumble, you know, and you know, DJ is just, he spent his whole career not fumbling, and the last 2 weeks he's had 4 fumbles in 2 weeks. And you know, it's killing him more than anybody, really. I mean, certainly when anybody turns it over, it hurts the team, but it hurts the guy too because he cares and he doesn't want that to happen, you know. But it happened, and so they get the ball in good field position, short field, and then they end up taking the lead. So that thing kills. We get a you know, another situation where we get them in a 4th and 7, and we jump offside, you know, and they got us, you know. I mean, Gerald Willis is one of the best. He may be the best defensive tackle in America. He leads the nation in tackles for loss, and part of the reason why he does is because he does anticipate the snap count. He does do a good job of getting off, you know, on the ball, and that's why he can penetrate and do the great things that he does. And he had a great game beside that point. But you know, he was sick when that happened. You know, they end up getting a 4th and 2 and making it, and continuing to drive down the field, you know. So, you know, just some of those things that you just can't have happen kept happening. And, you know, but I, you know, I thought the, you know, when you watch the tape and you see the effort of these guys and you watch them how hard and how fast they're playing, and you see, you know, young guys like Cam Davis get in there and show what he can do. I mean, he really got his opportunity based on the fact that Travis Homer couldn't really practice Tuesday and Wednesday very much, and so he got a bunch of reps and practiced well. And, you know, he proved that he was ready. And, you know, we had the faith and confidence to put him in the game early in the game. And, you know, he spits out a 20-some yard touchdown run after that wonderful rugby punt or whatever you want to call that, sideways kick. But, you know, he did a good job. He had I think he had no missed assignments in the game. And didn't really get tested with the pass protection and you know, or a blitz or anything like that, but he played well. And so, you know, 9 out of 15 third downs. I mean, that's pretty stinking good. And then 1 out of 1 on fourth down. But the 1 third down and 1 we fumble the ball. You know, you can't kill drives that way. And you know, QB center exchange, something that, you know, now we are mainly a shotgun team, but every single day we start practice. You guys know it. We start every single practice with a QB center exchange under center, you know, just to make sure those things don't happen. But, you know, these guys, I love them all, you know, because they're ours, you know, number one. But, you know, when you watch the tape and you see them battle and you see it, you know, how much they do care and how much it hurts when things don't go well. You know, you got the right kind of guys, and I'm proud of how hard they work.
Coach, it seems every week you get the question, how's the locker room, how's the team, how's this, how's that? But I think that one of the most impressive things about this team is there is no division, there is no lack of effort. And you watch that in the fourth quarter, you look at it in the first quarter, they're playing together, and you see the locker room after the game, there's nobody that's split. Everybody's all in.
Well, you're in there, Don.
I see it.
You do your show, and you know what's up. And you know, they're just hurting, man. It's painful to not have the kind of success that you hope for, that you want as an individual player, as an individual coach, or as a team. You know, you want it for yourself. You want it for your team. You want it for your family. You want it for your fans. You want it for your school. You know, there's a lot of different levels of motivation, and when it doesn't go well, it is painful. I mean, we pour lives into this thing, and those guys, you know, give up a lot to be, you know, student athletes. It's a lot of work in football and a lot of work at school, and it's not easy. It's not for everybody, that's for sure.
I want to talk to you about Nicosi and Cam Davis in a minute, because I thought they did some really good things, as you mentioned, but also. I looked out in the field. One point, you had Scaife, freshman, Wiggins, freshman, Cam Davis, freshman,
Pope.
Mark Pope, freshman, Brevin Jordan, freshman, Will Mowry, freshman, and Nicosi, redshirt freshman. That's a lot of young guys together at the same time. And two things. One, it's probably hard to play with that many young guys now, but if people are patient, usually, when those guys grow up together, there are really good results.
Oh, they're gonna be great players. They're talented players right now for sure, and they're getting to the point where they become great players because they know what to do, how to do it, and can do it on a consistent basis. You know, and I mean, the future's definitely bright, and you know, we want to talk about the future this weekend coming up. You know, but certainly, you know, when these guys do grow up. They'll be so much better than they are today. I mean, I've never known a guy that, you know, guys will get to their junior and senior year and you might watch a game from 2 or 3 years ago and they'll watch themselves as freshmen and they can't help but smile or laugh and just say, man, I really wasn't that good yet, you know. I'm still learning. And, you know, they'll look back and see that maybe at the time they thought they were doing it just right and then they realize they weren't. But there's a lot of really good things. DJ Scaife, speaking of freshmen, he graded out higher than any lineman we had this weekend and played his tail off. I mean, the guy, you know, that's the thing. You know, early in the season, it really wasn't that way, and you kind of bite the bullet a little bit on a young guy. But, you know, now he's starting to really hit his stride and play extremely well. So, you know, the more experienced these talented, young talented guys get, you know, the better they're going to be.
Coach, you talk about me being in the locker room with you after the game, and I, I think back of how Nkosi was after his first start, and I talked to him after the game. And then I talked to him after this game, of course, and it's like the guy aged 10 years already. You know, I mean, I saw a jump in maturity, a jump in understanding, a jump in commitment. And it's just amazing how quick that happens when you have to be in the fire.
He's starting to figure it out. Yeah. You know? And you can look in a guy's eyes and tell what's going on. You know, it just about any position, but the quarterback position, you know, I think that's important. And, you know, there was a time in that Virginia game where I didn't like the look. I mean, it was like, I think it's time to get a grown up in there, you know. And then, but in this game, he had confidence all the way through. He really worked hard the entire week on understanding the game plan, understanding the defenses we're going to get. Made a lot of really good calls in the run game, and it's just you could tell he's confident in knowing what to do and how to do it. And then I thought the guy threw the ball extremely well. There were some throws there that were just big league throws, and deep ball, a couple post shots that could have been a little bit better. The first one was certainly a makeable catch. The second one we missed, but you know, I mean, everybody in America will miss a deep shot once in a while. I thought he played well.
Along with Don said, sometimes when things go bad for you, they go bad for you. So when we came back from Atlanta the other night, 3 o'clock in the morning, it's pouring down rain here at the Hex Center, and I'm standing there getting my luggage, and next to me is Nkosi. So we're both standing in the pouring down rain. But two things: one, when you see him without the helmet, then you realize,
yeah,
he is right. But number two, I did feel in talking with him, standing there in the rain, a sense of relief and excitement from him that he got through it. He played good, and I just feel like, and probably you'll probably see it maybe on the practice field, that he was really excited for the next opportunity.
Yeah, well, we practice on Sunday nights, and we already had that one, and you know, he's feeling more comfortable. And the other thing too is, you know, he's friends with Malik. You know, he's teammates with Malik. Malik's a senior. Malik, you know, was a starter, you know, going into this thing. And now Nkosi is. And sometimes just to be in the same quarterback room, it's not all that comfortable, you know, when now all of a sudden you're the starter in front of a senior. You know, so you got to get comfortable with that too. And the good thing is Malik has just been a good friend to Nkosi too. And he's been a good teammate, and he's been working hard to try to help him even throughout the game, just, you know, helping him understand a couple things that was happening out there was really impressive by Malik.
Also, we saw some of Nkosi's athleticism in the pocket, escaping, ad-libbing, making plays with his legs and his arm. And I imagine that will continue to going forward
those are the things you saw on his high school tape, the way he could create by, you know, using his athleticism and his ability to throw on the run, very impressive. Times of getting out of trouble and running for a first down, or getting out of trouble and throwing the ball away and saving yardage that way. And he just made a lot of really good, solid decisions. And sometimes the best decision is to, you know, pull the ball down and run, or pull the ball down and scramble, get out of the pocket and throw the ball away. Not one ball was thrown in harm's way. I mean, the guy was really careful with the ball too.
Coach Travis Homer, talk about how much he pours into every play. I mean, I don't know that you just, every ounce of effort, every time.
He's an amazing guy. I mean, we watch the tape and we're just like, don't people realize that you're about to get run over? I mean, just, you know, I guess he just doesn't look that imposing to anybody. But when he finishes runs, it's just amazing. First of all, how low he can get to the ground, and then just keep his balance and power and drive through people. And I mean, hit that one kid on the sideline, and he literally flew 4 yards in the air. I mean, just knocked him back. I mean, but you know, great. One of the big time throws Nkosi made wouldn't have happened if Homer didn't pick up the blitz. You know, he really does a great job of knowing exactly who to block and just stoning guys right at the line of scrimmage. Or, you know, you'll have the pocket and there'll be a space for a backer to come through a certain gap. And I mean, he's right there waiting for them cats and jacking them up. And there's nobody coming up in the face of the quarterback when Homer's blocking. And a lot of times he'll clean up. You know, he knows he'll have his responsibility, and if his responsibility doesn't come and he begins to run his route, if he sees color, you know, of the other team, if a lineman's having a little bit of struggle, he'll be there just to stone him right there and stop him at the point. So really, really thankful for Homer. And he didn't practice Tuesday, Wednesday. He did go Thursday, got everything done on Thursday, and he's the kind of kid that can do that because of all the experience that he's had.
Now, that has to be inspiring, I would think, for everybody, because you get the questions, oh, well, what do you play for? And then you see Travis Homer, I think it was the player you're mentioning, that screen pass, he lowers his, I remember calling and saying, he lowers his shoulder and got down inside the 10-yard line.
Yes.
I mean, you just take that one play and say, you think our team has given up? Look at this play.
Yeah, it's inspiring for sure.
Coach, I don't want to forget that there was a 95-yard drive, too, and I don't know what the metric is on percentage of score from 95 yards, but it's not very good.
No, it's not. We end up late. You know, it's, what, fourth quarter? Might have been the beginning of the fourth quarter. And it's that you know when you get the ball, you have to score a touchdown. It can't be a field goal or the game's over. And so then we get the ball on the 5-yard line, and we're like, okay, you know, let's go. And, between some really great throws and catches and Nikosi using his wheels and some timely runs, you know, we went 95 yards. We did get the score, and right around at the 7-minute mark. And so you would hope you might get one more shot. Unfortunately, we didn't get another shot. You know, our defense was battling all night long, and just couldn't get a stop at the very end to give us one more chance. But, you know, if you remember a year ago when we're playing Georgia Tech, it's very similar situation, playing from behind, got to get one more stop. And they threw a ball over the middle. I don't know if you remember or not, but the ball was kind of right on the money. And I think Mike Jack might have been the one defending it and just was probably out of position. And the ball was thrown well, but maybe just not perfect enough where Mike Jett got a chance to close the space. And I think the ball was in the guy's hands and looked like he caught it. And by the time he hit the ground, the ball popped out. But it's mostly because of how hard, you know, we were battling to get it out of there. And that was a play that they didn't make last year that, you know, this year, a very similar play. They end up hanging on to the ball and getting that third down conversion, which pretty much put the dagger in us.
All right, we'll come back and talk more with University of Miami head coach Mark Richt. Virginia Tech is coming up at 3:30 kickoff from Blacksburg. More with Coach Richt on the Mark Richt Show right after this.
This is Hurricane Hotline on AM 560 and 96.5 HD2 WQAM. Driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com. Now, back to Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Canes, Joe Zagacki.
Happy to welcome you back to the Mark Richt Show, brought to you by Williamson Automotive. Joe Zagacki and Don Bailey Jr., University of Miami head coach Mark Richt. The Canes will take on Virginia Tech this weekend on the road at 3:30 kickoff. Coach, went into the last segment talking a little bit about Michael Jackson, and Don talked with him in the locker room after the game. It was a tough play for him. And a lot of times you'll see an NFL veteran, 10-year NFL veteran, be in that position and disappear, won't talk.
Right.
And Michael Jackson probably didn't have to. Not one play determines a game.
No.
But Michael Jackson stood up there and took so much responsibility. And I thought it was pretty impressive for a kid like that to show that kind of leadership and character.
Well, the guy's a great player, and he's a great person, and he's been a great leader for us. You know, he came back for his senior year, and, you know, he didn't expect this type of a season for his senior year. Jaquan Johnson comes back for his senior, didn't expect, you know, for us to be struggling the way we're struggling. And then, you know, to lose a game like that and, you know, have a play made under your responsibility, I mean, it hurts. Just like DJ, you know, fumbles the ball, that hurts, you know. Jeff Thomas doesn't feel the kick right, you know. I mean, he's not happy about that, you know. And then, you know, Mike Jack maybe could have played it better. He knows that. But, you know, to stand up there and man up like that, it's impressive, but it's not shocking, just knowing the guy. And that's what I think people respect, you know. Guys that'll take ownership when things don't go well. When they go well, they usually give the credit to their teammates, and that's the kind of guy you want.
Coach, one guy we got to talk a little bit about, we haven't said his name too much because we can't say it, but that's Tito Odenigbo, right?
Odenigbo.
So, but I watched him, you know, during the game, he was very productive, 4 or 5 tackles and hung in right there at a very tough spot.
Oh, yeah. Well, that is the toughest spot in that option because it's usually 2 and sometimes 3 guys trying to knock you out of the box. They run so much dive, and there's double teams almost every single play. And, you know, talking to Coach Diaz after the game and actually watching the tape with the defensive staff, they said Tito played that position, you know, better than anybody has in the last 3 years we've played him. Just an impressive job of not only holding the point, you know, and not getting blown out of there, but making plays on top of it. And, you know, he's a guy you don't even hardly know his name. And like you say, it's hard to even say his last name. But he kind of came out of nowhere. I mean, late in the game, we pick him up as a graduate transfer, and he shows up in the summer, and, you know, he's in the heat, and he's not used to that, and he's not in the best of shape. And, you know, by the end of the summer, the guy, I mean, just within a 5-week period, he really turned his conditioning around, got his body in good shape, and then now he's, you know, learning a new system, and the guy has done great for us, and we're really, really proud of him.
Defense did, I think maybe it's worth mentioning that they changed their way of doing business in this game a little bit. Three defensive tackles in the game, a 3-man line basically. And then also, the last couple of weeks, you've been going to a jumbo package with in short yardage.
Yeah, we had 2 extra tackles. Yeah, we had 2 offensive linemen playing tight end. You know, Zalante Hillary, if you wondered who number 33 was, I think he had 33 on this game. I know he did the game before. But a lot of it was when, we got down to 1 tight end, period. And, we needed to have at least 1 lineman play tight end. And then it turned out we had, if we wanted to get into a true jumbo set with no receivers, you know, we had our tight end Brevin Jordan be the motion guy, and so we needed, basically we had 7 offensive linemen in the game at the time, and you know, the first time we ran that belly to chalk, we knocked them out of the box, you know, got an easy 3-4 yard gain, whatever it was, and we're really coming back with the same play on 3rd and 1 when we fumble the snap, knowing that, you know, if we had to go throw 4 on 4th down, we could do that as well. But, yeah, we had a bunch of big boys in there on that one.
Will Mallory comes back. He was out a couple of weeks with an eye infection, and nice to have him back on the field. How was his conditioning, and how did he adapt to being gone and then back?
He did well, considering that, you know, he didn't get a lot of practice time. But he's a smart kid, and even when he was sick, Coach Hartley was coaching him even through – you know, Skyping a little bit, you know, just to keep him away from everybody so that no one else got infected with the eye infection. But you never know when the doctors are going to say, okay, you can go. So Coach Hartley was keeping him up to speed. And then there were times we could get him in the weight room off to himself and try to, you know, get him on the treadmill and do some cardiovascular things to keep him in shape the best we could. Now, he didn't play a lot of plays, so, you know, that was part of the reason why, he held up well. But, you know, he caught a nice ball and finished the run, got about 2 or 3 yards after contact, and he did his part.
You had the 3 nice drives, 2 of them really long, the 75, 95-yard drive, 30-yard drive, and I thought you were moving the ball really well. The penalties had to be frustrating for you. One of them I'm still looking for, by the way, the one on Gauthier. I'm still trying to find it. But nonetheless, they had to be frustrating.
Yeah, that was that third, you know, it's 3rd down, less than 5, and you know, our center, like a lot of people in America, we'll call the cadence. You see a lot of people using the clap. And, you know, the clap kind of starts the mechanism, but the center, you know, will say downset hut or whatever the cadence is, you know. And, you know, he, like a quarterback will use a hard count. He was using a hard count, which is perfectly legal to do. And they jumped in the neutral zone. We tapped him, and we thought it's on them. As a matter of fact, you know, one official, I think, is thinking it's on them. And the other one imagined that he, you know, he said that he popped his head or whatever. I mean,
Georgia Tech thought it was on them because all their guys were throwing their hands in the air.
No, I mean, no doubt. But the sad thing about that play, too, is we had a certain play called. It was a perfect look for it. They were playing. They had everybody in the box. They had one guy out there on Jeff, and you could tell he was off in a safe distance and ready to back up as fast as he could back up because he was worried about Jeff trying to go take him deep. But we had just a little speed out to him. And my guess is he had caught it with a little bit of space in between him and the defender and might have scored a touchdown on that one. But, you know, he ended up getting third and 9 or whatever it was instead of third and 3 or 4. But just, you know, those things hurt. And we had some other times that we flinched that we did flinch, and it's first and 15. And, you know, that just makes it tougher to move the ball down the field when you make those mistakes.
And when that happens in practice, you do make guys, there is a penalty in practice for them. So you're going over, you're trying through repetition.
I mean, the minute if they flinch, they leave the drill immediately, take a lap around the field, and then come back and keep practicing. But and then after practice, there's, you know, up downs and all that kind of stuff for those types of things. So it's not like we just say, oh, don't do that again. I mean, there's some discipline that goes along with it, but you know, it just happened too many times.
Coach, let's go football 101 for a second. When did the center? So you can explain this to the listeners. When did the center take over the play, the cadence? How did that evolve?
Yeah. Well, when you get into a place that's super loud, it's very difficult for everybody to hear the quarterback, especially in the shotgun. It used to be the quarterback would be right under the center, and all the linemen could hear what's going on. The skill guys are mostly keying the ball. Okay, there's no way they're going to hear the cadence in a loud stadium. So when you're in an away game, you have to be able to do that. The other thing is, if you want to go on a quick cadence in the shotgun, used to be this. Well, let's back up. If you go on a normal cadence, you might see a guard looking back at the quarterback, and the quarterback does his little heel kick or whatever he does to start things. So the guard's got to see what's going on, and when he sees it, he'll tap the center, and then the center at a certain point will snap the ball. But he'll still say set hut or whatever. So the lineman, you know, because you got tackles that don't want to be looking at the ball. They want to be looking at their assignment. So when they hear the set hut, they start their movement, okay? Well, if you want to go on a quick count with that system, then instead of the guard looking back, the center's got to look back. So if the center's looking back at the quarterback waiting for him to heel kick, all right, if he does that, then he doesn't see what's happening up front, and he can't get the blocking scheme right. Or he'll have his head up, see what he sees, look for the quarterback. By the time he looks up again, it may be different. So by using this clap system, the center can keep his head up the whole time, can see everything that's happening the whole time. And for whatever reason, when you clap, if you clap well, no matter how loud it is, you can hear the clap. So when the center hears the clap, then he knows it's on him, and then he'll call the cadence. Sometimes it's on the quick cadence, sometimes it's, you know, more of a deliberate downset hike type thing. And then every once in a while, when the defense hears your rhythm of your cadence, then you go downset hike and don't hike the ball, and that's when they jump off sides and you get the penalty. That's what we were doing on that third down situation, and the officials didn't see it that way.
We talked about Cameron Davis earlier a little bit from Carroll City, but he did show some really natural running instincts. That touchdown was explosive. There was another one I thought he looked like he was almost on his way to breaking one, but he looks like he's a guy that's got a pretty good future for you.
He did well. He was, you know, he got here late in the summer. And, you know, so he was a little bit behind in camp. Because, you know, we install everything first summer session. I think he got in maybe second summer session. And so, you know, he missed a lot of the install first part of the summer. So he was a little bit behind the eight ball assignment-wise, but he kept working hard. And, you know, the thing that a mature guy does, he doesn't have to be – you could be mature and be 18. You could be mature and be 35 years old, you know. Or you could be 35 and be immature. But the bottom line is when you get young, mature players – you know, they'll do things, they'll do the little things, like even when they're not in, instead of standing back and cutting the fool or, you know, whatever, you know, they'll be watching every single time somebody gives a signal, process what that signal is, what does that mean to me, and then watch his position and see exactly how Homer does it. Excuse me, see exactly how DJ Dallas does it. And just go through the mental process of what would I do on this play. And, you know, he was doing a really good job of that until he got his moment to get a lot of reps, which was last week, again, because Homer's injury. And when he got those extra reps, it gave everybody faith and confidence that he was ready to go, and he proved us right.
All right, when we come back, the Hokies are on deck. We'll talk about Miami and Virginia Tech next, right here on The Mark Rick Show.
This is Hurricane Hotline on AM 560 and 96.5 HD2 WQAM. Driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com. Now, back to Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Canes, Joe Zagacki.
Welcome back to the Mark Rick Show, brought to you by Williamson Automotive. Joe Zagacki, Don Bailey Jr. will all be in Blacksburg this weekend for Miami and Virginia Tech, a 3:30 kickoff. Hokies, too, are a struggling coach. They're struggling on defense a little bit, but anytime you go into Virginia Tech and Blacksburg, that's a tough joint to go into.
Right, and I don't know who decided 3:30. It's been, you know, night game, night game, night game on the road. That'll be welcomed. It was welcome news when we heard it was going to be during the day instead of during the night, just because of the travel and all that kind of thing. But, yeah, Blacksburg, they can get it going. Their fans do a wonderful job. And you know, last time we were there, was it a Thursday night or?
It's been a bunch of Thursdays.
I didn't know what night it was, but it was a wild night, and their fans really got after it, and they do have great tradition there in that regard.
Coach Bud Foster, their defensive coordinator, and their defense is not what it's been in the past, but he's certainly still the same Bud Foster, and they're very aggressive.
Yeah, they are. You know, Bud has always had guys play hard as heck and physical as you could imagine, and they'll challenge you. In how they play defense, they'll play a good little bit of man coverage, and then they'll mix it up too. I mean, he's really good at what he does, and I know they've struggled a little bit, but you know they'll come out fighting. I can tell you that.
Yeah, he's probably in uncharted territory as well because of dealing with a lot of young players. They've always been a very veteran team, and they lost a bunch of guys in the draft, and they're kind of trying to rebuild their defense a little bit, and it's showing up somewhat.
Yeah, I mean, they had a lot of veteran players last year. They had a lot of great, just talented guys, like you said, guys that ended up in the NFL draft, but just, you know, big, long corners that can run, and you had some linebackers that were outstanding, just physical and tall and long and athletic. I mean, and then they knew his system front and back, and you know he could dial up anything he wanted to dial up. I mean, last year's game against them, that was one of our better offensive performances, and you know, it was, we had a couple little wrinkles in there that helped us in the run game, but you know, it was one of those games where we were hitting it pretty good. Now we threw three picks in that game, but we stayed aggressive the whole game and made a lot of big plays as well. So it was a big day.
Coach, you're winding down in the sense of the season goes, but you also have recruiting coming up in the next couple weeks. How do the official visits start kicking in, and then what do you have scheduled for the Pitt game as far as visits go?
Well, we've had a couple official visits throughout the season, not many. You know, it's hard to have a great visit and hit all the things you want to hit on an official visit. You want to spend a lot of quality time during those 48 hours that you get on an official visit. When you come, you know, during a game, we're busy coaching the game. You know, now you get to see us coach. You get to see, you know, the team in the locker room, how they respond to each other. You get to see what it looks like at the hotel the night before the game. So you get to see some pretty, you know, cool stuff. But on the other hand, you don't really get the sit-down time that you'd like to have. It's just much quicker. And even when you're looking at academics and things of that nature, it's tough to see what it really looks like on a weekend compared to what class and stuff like looks like, you know, during the week. So we may have one or two official visits for the Pitt game. I'm not even sure at this point, but I do know that there are two official visit weekends before the early signing date, and the last weekend prior to the signing date, that early signing date, is where we target that big weekend.
This is I guess it was their third, or I lost track of many recruiting classes, third or fourth, but now an opportunity for you to start building up your roster. I don't think people realize how depleted some areas were. And so we mentioned in the last segment how many freshmen are playing. So another opportunity to kind of re-energize your roster.
Yeah, we got to do that for sure. And then, you know, there'll be some seniors leaving the program. We know there's attrition for a lot of different reasons. And so it's that constant battle of keeping the guys coming and keeping them, and like you say, developing once they get here.
When you have an official visit, who can come? I mean, we obviously know the player, but can both parents come? What can the university pay for? What are some of the guidelines
with that? Now, parents are actually we're able to fly them in, you know, provide the travel. It used to be just a student athlete only. And the parents, if they could come, once they got on your campus, you could pay for everything, the meals and the housing and all that kind of thing, but they had to get there. Now, you're allowed to pay for the parents. You're also allowed a total of four family members besides yourself that you could pay for food, housing. So in the past, where you might could pay for the parents' housing, if they had a brother and a sister come with them, you know, the parents had to pay for that. Now we can pay for two more family members. And my guess is one day we'll be able to fly up, you know, all four family members besides the student athlete one day, probably provide travel too. But at this point, the travel is only for the parents.
This game on Saturday, this Miami-Virginia Tech game, both teams are not where they thought they were going to be. But still, I would imagine your guys are looking at Virginia Tech. Virginia Tech's looking at your guys and say, wait a minute, you guys are Miami, and you're saying you're Virginia Tech. There's still some of that got to be going on, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, believe me, you know, there's some history in this game for sure. And our guys are going to take it seriously. And you know, those guys, you know, I think they've got some kind of 20-some-year bowl streak or something that is on the line. I think they have to win the last two to make it to a bowl. And of course, we needed to win at least one to get into a bowl too. But you know, the beginning of the year, you probably would have thought both of us would be at the top of the league at the end, and this game might have been for the Coastal Division Championship. It's not. Everybody's got to deal with that. But it's still football, and these guys are still, you know, men that take pride in what they do, and both teams will get after it.
How about the youth on your team, the freshmen adapting to going on the road? It's one thing to go to the hotel and go to Hard Rock, but it's a whole nother deal when you run out at Georgia Tech or you're going to run out at Virginia Tech. It's a little bit of a different environment.
Yeah, I think the guys are used to it now, but you know, the first time you're at an away game and you kind of feel that. I mean, you've been at away games in high school, but you know, there might be 2,000-3,000 people in the stands, and then it turns out to be, you know, 82,000 people in the stands. So it's a little bit of a different sensation for them, I'm sure, and a little bit surreal. It's surreal the first time they run through the smoke at Hard Rock, too, you know. So, again, it's just the little things. I mean, I don't know if you noticed, but, you know, after Cam scored his touchdown, it had to be his first touchdown of his career, right? You can see, I mean, everybody wants to celebrate with him, and he's just on his knees being thankful. You know, I was like, wow, I just scored a touchdown, you know, in college. I mean, it's just, it's different for those kids when it's the first time around.
I would probably wrap things up a little bit like this. I we understand it's been a frustrating time. I always rely on my University of Miami history on this one. It wasn't that long ago. It was frustrating, and then you peeled off 15 in a row.
Yes.
I can go back to, I'm sitting here with two guys, you guys, who in 80 and 81 had great seasons. 81, a tremendous year. 82, lost a couple of close games, didn't get to a bowl game. 83, they come back the next year and win the national championship. So whenever things get tough here, they always seem to bounce back. You can look at it in the 90s or the early 2000s. And so you got to be, even though it's tough right now, optimistic of where you're taking this thing.
I mean, the future's bright for sure. And we all know it. You know, I'm saying we do it. We as coaches know it. And I think the players know it too. And but, you know, the thing that, if anything we learned and are learning is, you know, every little detail does matter. And when you realize when you do it just right, even a ball fake, you know. When you get a ball fake and you get a defender to play you as a quarterback instead of the guy who got the ball, might be the difference in a guy rolling back and scoring a touchdown or a safety, you know, hitting the guy in the backfield. I mean, just those little details make a huge difference.
Now, along those lines, there was one where Nicosi had that pump and threw one to Harley. A little bit off. I'm thinking somewhere along the line here, whether it's this year or next year, that same play you're going to call, it'll go for a touchdown.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it certainly could have been a touchdown on that one.
Coach, you talk about our fans, and you're at the whiteout at Bobby Dodd Stadium. You turn around, there's a whole lot of orange behind you as well. It's always good to see on the road.
Yeah, our fans were great, and they were super supportive. And you know, a lot of it is family members of our players and our coaching staff, but a lot of them are just the true grit fans, man, and they were there, and they were very, very supportive, and they were there before the game, they were there after the game, they're doing their best during the game. We appreciate every one of them.
All right, the Hokies are coming up. Another great opportunity for your team. I know you want to get back to work and
keep up
the good fight.
Yes, sir.
All right, Coach, thank you very much.
You got it.
All right, that's University of Miami head coach Mark Richt and Don Bailey Jr. I'm Joe Zagacki, and we'll continue right after this.